Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
The winds of change, the winds of time, the winds of winds. Today on CityCast Las Vegas, I'm here with the List.Vegas founder, Andrew Corrali, and my co-host, David Figler, for your Friday News Roundup. And we're talking about the winds that canceled the Lovers and Friends Festival, that blew Jesus Jara out of office, and blew in a rideshare scam as old as taxis. It's Friday, May 10th. I'm Sarah Lohman, and here's what Las Vegas is talking about. Hey, gents, big news. Today is our 500th episode.
Wow.
Woo.
It always seems like 499 to me.
I know. Why? I wish we
Congrats.
Don't have a cake. I mean, I guess that's the downside of working remote, but I do want a cake sent to my house.
Without being too sexist, we do have Andrew Corrali. That is a certain style of beefcake right there, my friend.
There you go.
This is the second time you've hit on Andrew this morning. The first
Andrew's
time
a handsome
off mic.
Man. It's hard.
You do look like you've been working out, Andrew.
I have been.
Good job. Yeah, good for you.
Looking good, bra. Looking good.
That's very exciting. We also have to start things off some breaking news. So at the time of this recording, which is 10 a.m. on Thursday, Culinary 226 has announced their first strike in 22 years at the Virgin Las Vegas. David, can you give us a quick summary of what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, this is a showdown of sorts. Virgin Hotels Las Vegas has been one of the last holdouts of culinary contract negotiations. As you probably recall on the podcast, we've talked at length about the Strip hotels signing off, the downtown hotels signing off. Virgin sits off Strip. They are a little beleaguered. They just kind of lost their gaming partner, and they're going to take over gaming themselves anyway. Without having a contract, the Culinary Union and Bartenders Union have decided to stage a 48-hour strike. That's not like the full-blown strike. It's just, you know, kind of a shot across the bow. And Virgin isn't sitting for it. They're not going to just let the culinary flex their power and, you know, foretell things to come. They are actually intent on filing some actions against the union for doing this and calling it unfair labor practices while they're trying to negotiate. So they do have negotiation talks set up for next week. This could be posturing on both sides. There's definitely going to be bodies out there in front of the Virgin Hotel on Friday, it seems. But whether or not it moves the needle or just creates like litigation, hard to tell.
Thanks, David. And we will keep an eye on this. So as it develops, you'll be hearing more from us next week. So let's get into this week's news. Okay, so Andrew, what happened to the Lovers and Friends Festival?
Yeah, so the Lovers and Friends concert slated for May 4th at the Las Vegas Festival Grounds was abruptly canceled, which totally blows. Or does it?
Oh.
Da-dum! On their website, the concert organizers cited a high wind advisory issued by the National Weather Service, which warned of gusts up to 55, 60 miles per hour on Saturday. And I think we all know Saturday's weather was windy, but it wasn't exactly like high wind advisory windy. So everyone's, you know, wondering.
Okay, everybody has been slagging off the winds. And I guess it was just my part of town because Henderson was trampoline going down the street weather. Like, I thought we were going to get like a legit dust storm because at a certain point I couldn't see the strip from here. So I guess it just sort of hit the south side of town.
Yeah, it got pretty nasty downtown for a minute, but you know, it wasn't like, you know, apocalyptic gusts like everyone was promising. So yeah, the concert was a bust, but was it due to a gust? Of course, the abrupt cancellation fueled rampant speculation on social media, which is always, as we know, a petri dish for conspiracy theories. One of the most interesting things was one TikTok user who said she was staying at the Sahara, which, of course, overlooks the Las Vegas festival grounds. She posted an image of what appeared to be a note on Sahara letterhead that was advising guests of an in-room security check on May 4th. And so her speculation and the speculation of others was that the threat of an October 1 style attack is what caused the cancellation of the, of the R&B festival. So, yeah, interesting theory. I don't know if I necessarily believe it. I have a couple of things in mind. You know, the high wind advisory was definitely real, so it's not like it was completely made up.
It was canceled last minute at the festival. It's such a it's such a bummer. It was canceled the night before, the day of, something like that.
I mean, the Sunday winds were the kind of winds that I think we all expected when they announced what the Saturday winds would look like.
Okay,
because Sunday winds were pretty fierce. We had some trampoline action in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, hot trampoline action downtown for a minute.
And you've got to tie those trampolines down. Like, why is this an annual thing? It's so bizarre to me.
I think it's almost a ritual.
Yeah, they should just use that as the code word now. Trampoline alert.
Trampoline alert. Check your backyard for trampolines.
Yeah. The wind was real, you know, so I mean, it was a real thing. And even NV Energy sent out a, a heads up of possible power outages. And wind cancellations have happened before. In October 2022, the When We Were Young Festival canceled its first day, you know, due to wind. So I think it just like comes down to the unfortunate fact that weather predictions, you know, aren't perfect. And I imagine the Lovers and Friends folks were waiting for maybe the last possible minute for a reprieve because the weather was looking all right. It never came. And, you know, the specter of safety liabilities, I think, caused them to, you know,
it's better
cancel
to
it.
Be safe. I mean, David, do you think that there's any credibility to the TikTok claims that there might have been like that there was worries about an active shooter?
No, zero. Belief in that. I think we need to actually debunk that. First of all, that wind advisory was a real wind advisory. And the Lovers and Friends festival wasn't the only thing canceled. There was a really big Tour de France styled bike race that was supposed to happen, too. It was a 75-mile event called L'Étape or something like that. I don't speak French. It was like Les Red Rocks. You know, they're up in the mountains. And they canceled that one, too.
Yeah.
Look, ever since the wind, the horrible, I think it wasn't just winds, I think it was a tornado, took down the stage when Sugarland was playing Indiana. I mean, you could Google Sugarland tragedy when people died. Like, that scaffolding is always really tenuous, and even a lighter wind can cause mass havoc, and evacuating all those people and the artists protecting them, it's not worth the risk.
Yeah. And I think that it's also important to note that the threat of an active shooter is always nowadays.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, like, and I just want to make that point really clear is that I've had friends who have stayed at hotels since 1 October. I've had family that has stayed at hotels since 1 October. And that is very similar language. The note that they had posted, that is very common right now. All
it
times.
Said, like, we're not acknowledging do not disturb signs. We're
right. We have to check rooms because there might be people dead in there.
And
there
it
might
was
be
rooms that like looked over the festival grounds. Like, so, you know, it seems to be new policy since October 1st.
Yeah. I mean, it's just generic policy, but also maybe when there are festivals, they want to just make sure that there's not, you know, a cache of ammo and like tripod set up on, you know, and
that,
I think that
policy
is very, very standard. I think there's no credibility that there was intelligence that suggested that it needed to be canceled.
Yeah. And I think it, like, and I think people think, you know, when it gets to social media and conspiracy theories that, you know, that two things can't be true at once. And, you know, and in this case, it is true that they, you know, it seems to be true that there was this security letter that seems perfectly reasonable precaution in an October 1 world to check the rooms that, in an area that overlooks a concert site. And I was actually at the Sahara on Saturday for a spa day, and I didn't notice any like heavy security that, you know, suggested some kind of credible specific threat. And I think if there was, that place would be on complete lockdown. All I saw was a lot of disappointed would-be concert goers.
It was,
you know,
going to be a
about.
Good festival. I mean, it does seem like I don't think that this TikTok user is also trying to like incite panic in any way. I think she's just from out of town and Fair. Like didn't know that this has become a standard policy. Hey, have either of you ever been to like had tickets for a big show or a big festival that got canceled last minute like this?
Not personally, but I mean, I know a lot of people who, I mean, it's got to be a, you know, a huge bummer. And the mood of the Sahara was, you know, definitely a downer, and long lines of people, you know, checking out. And
a lot of people traveled into town to do this. Yeah.
You know, the Arts District and other hotels always benefit from people being here, kind of in their minds, stuck here and trying to find something to do. Good news is that Las Vegas has tons of things for people to do if they're not going to the festival.
You know, how can festivals do right by attendees when unforeseen events like this happen? Because obviously it's not just the ticket costs. Like, people have spent money to come here and stay here too.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. And, you know, I mean, nowadays, event insurance is a thing, you know, and whether that's a dystopian feature of you know, this moment or not is a whole discussion into itself. But I mean, I haven't heard anything from Lovers and Friends, but it would be nice if they gave, you know, something reasonable, like, you know, future discounts to ticket holders, you know, would be nice. But I think a transparency and promptness of communication would go a long way. And I think what really frustrated people in this case was it was unclear, and people are saying, well, you know, I heard it from a friend and it was texted. And I think this is, all this stuff is in the fine print and says, you know, we can cancel due to weather, but they need to make that the bold print and keep ticket holders, you know, apprised and say, hey, we're really hoping that this, you know, wind advisory doesn't pan out and we're going to, you know, have to wait a little bit, stay patient. And I think a bit more transparency would just engender a lot more, you know, good faith.
I'm actually surprised that big festivals like that don't have a backup plan when they have an outdoor show scheduled, that there would at least be some indoor venue of sorts where they could put some of the headliners, at least to offer something. I don't know. I mean,
it's a huge,
I agree with
of
Andrew.
Money there needs those to bands be out here.
Yeah, I agree with Andrew. There should be some kind of premium other than just getting your money back, because you do outlay a lot of cash, especially travel. And the show is jam packed with everyone from Janet Jackson to Gwen Stefani and Backstreet Boys and Usher and on. I mean, we could take the whole podcast listing all the people who were scheduled to perform there. I was in the Arts District when the announcement came out and saw a couple of people over at Analog Dope Bookstore who just were looking for something to do. And they were lamenting that they were told that it was going to be over 30 days before they got their refund back.
Oh, wow.
And so they thought that was really inconvenient. But yeah, they were also on the hunt for little pop-up shows. And I guess a couple happened at some pools, but not like the other festival that was canceled, the When We Were Young festival. Where
that was kind of the fun thing that like people were like, oh, well, who's going to play in town? But it does seem to just be that like Snoop Dogg and T-Pain. I call him Snoop because
you're friends. You're friends.
Because you're here, bros.
Yeah. You went to dinner with him and Martha Stewart. I get it.
I have actually been to a semi-private Snoop Dogg show, and it was incredible. And he's an incredible performer. It was absolutely amazing. But Snoop Dogg and T-Pain, they did do a special performance at the AU Day Club. Is that how you say it? I've never been to a day club in my life.
Sure.
Y'all. Nobody knows. Anyway, so they did do a show, but it seems like, I mean, maybe, who knows, maybe a lot of the performers hadn't even flown in yet. But anyway, that's a bummer. So I'm sorry to everybody who came to town. We're glad to have you here. I hope the show reschedules and that you get
please
compensated for your pain.
Yeah, Method Man, Red Man, if you're listening, any men who were there, Boys to Men, I don't think they were on there, but Backstreet Boys were, 98 Degrees.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fat Joe, we're sorry. Come back.
We're sorry to everybody. All right. So, David, you've been like our Jesus Jara correspondent, he is now finally out of office, but he handed out some raises before he left. Can you please tell us more?
Yeah. So Jesus Jara, the long embattled and now former superintendent for the Clark County School District, did something while the school board trustees were contemplating his fate. But it only recently came to light. It appears that while he was getting fast-tracked for a forced departure earlier this year, he used his unilateral superintendent powers to give significant pay raises to a number of his cabinet. It totaled up about $323,000, and it got backdated, those raises, to last summer. This includes deputy superintendents, chief financial officer, chief info officer, general counsel, communications director, everybody. All of these people got at least an 8% raise, but the ones that are raising eyebrows right now are the $67,000 raise for Police Chief Henry Blackeye and the now interim superintendent, Dr. Brenda Larson Mitchell, who got a 28% raise, which translated to more than $60,000 more a year for her. Of course, Jara is not around anymore to explain his outbreak of generosity, but school district watchers point out this is not the first time that Jara has done this when his chips were down, giving out raises like Oprah gives out cars to the people best suited to protect him and his legacy.
You get a raise, you get a raise. Ooh,
right?
Okay.
So back in 2021, before quickly de-ousting him, he was ousted and he handed out about $400,000 in raises to administrators. So, you know, now there's a serious inquiry as to the fairness of this move when so many teacher positions remain unfilled and the average starting salary of a new teacher is less than the raise, for example, that the interim superintendent got.
Okay, so is it laudable that he took care of his people, or did he saddle CCSD with a parting burden? I guess translation is he a jerk or is he a nice guy?
Is he a herc or a jerk?
Oh, like Hercules, no. Okay. Like a hero.
Trying to do it,
is that what you meant? Because you could workshop that, Andrew.
I was doing Jesus Jara, jerk or herc. No. All right.
Andrew. What do you think? Herc or yerk?
Well, I mean, it feels kind of herky to me. And, you know, take that for whatever it means. But I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that the sort of like the top level of the school district layer cake is working their butts off. But I think it would have been nicer and more sensible and sane and cooler if he gave like teachers these fat raises on the way out. And so if anything, I feel like this big bit of farewell largesse, it only aggravates what to me seems to be becoming like almost like a class war deep class tension between the teachers and the teachers union on one side. And then what appears to be forming is an aristocratic class of out of touch top administrators and executives on the other.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think executive raises aren't the answer to, you know, this is a tough job. I think decent pay for teachers and funding for the ecosystem of support staff and all the other things that can, you know, raise up students and teachers. I think that's the answer to me.
Well, I mean, in the past, Jara represented that high-level administrative jobs are difficult and need more compensation to be competitive and to retain that sort of talent. And I get that. I mean, you know, these are high-paying jobs, and it's not just the salaries, which now are all in the 200,000s, but the benefit packages that go along with that, healthcare and all the rest. You know, a lot of critics, though, have come out. I mean, teachers have taken to social media. At least one teachers union has suggested this is untoward behavior and that the Board of Trustees needs more oversight and to not allow this to happen again. And even the Nevada ACLU came out and they asserted that this is rewarding people for loyalty and not for merit. And they specifically pointed out their very protracted battle with an obstinate CCSD over public records requests, where the school district had to hire outside counsel or decided to hire outside counsel to fight the ACLU. They ultimately lost. And that was the transparency over the body cam footage of that incident that happened at Durango High School, where the officers, the school district officers, were accused of police misconduct, even violence against students.
Yeah. So actually, let's come to that specifically, because one of these raises was passed out to the district police chief. So CCSD hasn't had a great track record in terms of safety in schools and violence over the past few years. On one hand, some people might argue that since the pandemic, like managing school safety has gotten more difficult, too, that things have gotten more violent. So do you think the school district police chief deserve this gigantic raise or not? Do you want to follow up on that, Figler?
Well, you know, there was some reporting that compared his new salary to other law enforcement chief executives around the valley. So it's a lot more than the sheriff of all of Clark County gets, at least as far as salary goes. Now, the sheriff of Clark County also is able to dip into his pension, which is also a significant six-figure number every year. So he's making a ton of money, too. But they looked at like Henderson and other. And I guess theoretically it is somewhat competitive, maybe a little on the high side. But I don't think that you can ignore that the school police have not had the greatest of couple of years. And, you know, whether or not the current chief is the best person suited for the job is a different conversation. But giving out a huge raise like that, I mean, it's going to make people feel like, what's really going on here? And so it raises more questions than it answers, especially as we move forward in a new superintendent search and whatever possible new policies are going to come out of things like this court case, which cost the school district a lot of additional money and for naught because they wound up losing. And I think actually having to pay the ACLU for their lawyers. It's crazy.
Well, I think it's absolutely true that post-pandemic school is one wacky place. And my sister was a 10th grade English teacher, and her brief career actually straddled the pandemic. And she put it very compellingly and succinctly. And she said, it was almost like during the pandemic, behaviorally, like students were put in a state of like suspended animation as far as their social development. And she noted a host of, you know, yeah, behavioral issues that she had never witnessed before, you know, before the pandemic. And it really affected, you know, kids. But I think a lot of the issues about safety and security, again, could be better addressed in a much more kind of organic way that doesn't deal with the symptoms, that, you know, talks about, again, the ecosystem of support staff that teachers need, smaller class sizes, you know, on-site counselors, opportunities for students with different learning styles and behavioral issues to, you know, get the, you know, get what they need. I think, you know, when we say security, to me, that says deep-seated, you know, behavioral issues that come from a chronically underfunded and under-supported school district. So that's my two cents.
It's just really weird optics to just be handing out this money under these circumstances, and not once, but twice. And it seems as though the trustees might have been asleep at the wheel, because if they know that's his MO, how that wasn't part of the conversation is a little lost.
That's fair. Of course, if you were being ousted, you wouldn't really care about optics anymore either. So there you go. Mm-hmm. Well, another story we're going to follow up on, because also CCSD has to hire a lot of teachers before the fall. So we'll have more on that for you soon.
Over 1,000.
All right, so last up today, there's been a lot of rideshare scams at Harry Reid Airport. So, I mean, that's essentially it. I'm sure y'all have flown in and out of Harry Reid plenty of times. You know that especially on the weekends, that rideshare area can be kind of chaotic. I mean, compared to other places, though, I don't mind it. It's close. The driver texts your stall number, you go and meet them. But in a tale as old as time, there have been people offering rides for cash. So this is like forever in New York City, even before rideshare apps, you know, with taxis that like you go to the airport and there are always people just asking if you want to ride.
The private car people.
Private car people, like literally just their car, not even like, you know, because the like black car services are also licenses. This happens in like every major city that has had licensed taxis, right? It's probably happened here before as well. New York has a huge campaign to people to avoid doing that. That being said, I had a friend come visit me in New York and he just got into some random person's car. So like it still happens. Maybe people think they're getting a deal. I don't know. So although today and that area is for ride shares, the taxi line is in another part of the airport. You know, apparently there have been people taking advantage of the chaos to make a little extra cash without being a registered licensed rideshare driver. So maybe we don't love rideshare apps like Uber and Lyft. I think are the only ones we have here. Those the couple other trying to make their way up. But this is dangerous. So let's list the ways this scam is dangerous.
Oh,
Andrew, David?
Well, I've watched my fair share of Dateline in 2020, and many of the episodes focus on the, you know, the seemingly enterprising, you know, independent driver who turns out to be a serial killer or just, you know, a murderer. So that to me is, you know, my nightmare scenario that I always have in mind. And so, yeah, I'm pro corporate rideshare.
Yeah. David?
Well, I think the obvious stuff. I mean, you want to get into a car if you're going to get into a car, taxi or rideshare otherwise, where you know that the person has adequate insurance,
yes,
that they have a license, that they
background check
somehow know the town, you know, is going to be liable for long hauls or whatever it is that they're doing, that there is some regulation. And then, you know, my partner, when she takes a Lyft, always shares her ride info with me. So I know where she's going, and I could always check in. And if it's going somewhere different, I guess I could hop on my bicycle and, you know, pedal like hell to go save her, because that's who I am.
Yeah. I mean, back in the day, we would text the taxi license numbers to a friend when rideshare apps weren't available. I mean, yeah, obviously, as a woman, I don't want to get in a car with a stranger. When someone first told me the idea of Uber and Lyft when they were moving away from black cars and taxis to being private cars, I thought that was insane. I mean, I think if riders want to avoid these scams, like, if you're in the rideshare area, Uber and Lyft are sending you the name of your driver and the license plate and the car.
Yeah, and, check that plate.
Yeah, and if they show up in a different car or with a different license plates, which does sometimes happen, you can, because you have to like switch between cars, sometimes, you know, partners are driving, whatever, but you can reject that ride without charge.
It's it is chaos, though. You said that was the right word. And I think it's by design. You know, the taxi cabs had their own
orderly line.
Yeah, that very long line. It's orderly, but it is interminable. And that was never a great option at the airport for years and years and years to get into that taxi line. But I think that this chaos is by design. I think this was kind of like a concession to taxi drivers. Like, I'm not going to go down in that hot rugby scrum. I'm going to just wait in the normal line.
Yes,
you do need to take that precaution. If you are going to use rideshare, there are obvious and easy ways to kind of verify that that's the person who you called.
You know, and I actually have noticed that more and more airports are moving their rideshare areas further and further away. Like, you really have to hike to get there. And I do think that this is concessions to taxis. But then that also means that you can get more random people showing up. But like, usually, though, there's also going to be like someone's going to ask you if you want a ride, and they're going to state the price, and it's going to be in cash. So like, just like get in your Uber or Lyft. It is just safer, and we can talk about everything else.
I was going to say, and maybe the airport can take a page from other, you know, venues and municipalities. Went to a show months ago at the Hollywood Bowl, mm-hmm. did rideshare. And at the end, you got this, you know, huge throng of people with their rideshare. But there is actually a whole team of venue people who check in with the drivers, confirm their information, and then call out, you know, your name and kind of escort you to your car. It wouldn't be hard. And I think that would add a layer of, like, you know, service and, you know, consciousness to the airport experience. That would actually, I think, you know, maybe make tourists feel a little bit better about their Las Vegas experience.
And so that is what
I think there's other ways to even make it even better.
Right. We want people to feel welcome here. Well, you don't.
Right, exactly.
Let me just add this too.
Yeah.
And people forget, and I think on our Secrets of the Airport episode that we did here on the podcast, we forgot to mention that public transit goes directly to the Harry Reid International Airport. They all stop at the airport's ground level zero at Terminal 1. You could get Route 108, 109, Centennial Express. Maybe it takes a little extra time, but you're going to get to the, you know, spots on the strip. You're going to get to, it's just maybe a transfer or maybe it's direct.
How much does a bus cost here?
It's like $4.
Well, David, Andrew, do not worry, because when we get a tunnel that goes to the airport, when the Tesla tunnels finally reach the airport, all of these problems are going to be solved.
Yes,
so
30 miles an hour underground in a single file.
Yeah.
What could go wrong?
But if your driver is three raccoons in a trench coat, do not accept that ride.
I would accept that ride 100%. I feel like,
let's
do
story.
This, baby. Vegas.
You may be on Dateline, but it'd be a good story if you're not.
Okay, so speaking of three raccoons in a trench coat.
Why did you have raccoon chow in your pocket, sir? We know what you were up to.
If you're not a raccoon. So here's our time to shine. If you were going to come up with your own tourist scam, a scam to scam tourists, one that wouldn't actually put them in harm's way. Producer Sonia Cho Swanson just said that. What would it be? What would be your scam? How are we making money?
Oh, I got a perfect scam.
Go for it, David.
Homemade coupon books. Okay, so you know how, like, when you forgot to get someone important in your life a gift?
Yeah, you give them a coupon for a hug.
You give them a coupon for a hug or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So what you do is you would go to CityCast newsletter, or you would go to the list.vegas, mm-hmm. and you would find all the bargains that already exist in our community, like, you know, where the best happy hour, you get the half price steaks over at Herbs and Rye or whatever, mm-hmm. and then you just handwrite a coupon good for one half price steak at Herbs and Rye before 8 p.m.
And they're just so proudly handing that over.
And then you sell them for $5 for this coupon book.
Oh,
and then they walk in.
So it's a coupon zine.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a zine.
There you go.
I love it. Bringing back the zines.
That's actually pretty smart, David. Like making a little zine about all the deals. I'm way into this.
Oh, and then you could even go on the other end and scam the restaurants and say, I'm going to help hustle up business. I'm going to be your hype man. Just give me some dough.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Another free business idea.
Great.
Free business scams.
Exactly.
Here you go.
So basically, you would be a porn slapper for local businesses.
Sure, Andrew, if that's how you can understand my scam, sure.
I'm being reductivist.
It's going to be drawn in crayon, by the way.
It'll be beautifully illustrated.
I would buy a David Figler coupon.
Yeah, I would too.
At the airport.
Also, there'd be one free hug from me in there too. Why not?
That's nice.
I care.
Andrew, just so you know, I still am ready to invest in Griddle Darlings, the breakfast strip club.
Never stops giving that joke.
No, I am obsessed with it. But do you have a scam for us?
I do. Mine is a sort of compassionate, subversive, reverse pickpocket scheme. Mm-hmm. So I bump into tourists, you know, on the strip. Mm-hmm. But instead of taking their wallets and their watches, I'd instead stuff their pockets with brochures and flyers for off-strip attractions such as local theater productions, neighborhood restaurants, and cool hikes, offering them a reprieve from the strip. Yeah, so a benevolent little reverse loving scam.
It's such like a kindness that starts with you knocking into somebody.
Exactly. And I would do that very gently and consensually. Well,
one free hug from Andrew.
Okay, well, first I would love to shout out, while we're talking about scams, LeBron James, who's been seen on Fremont Street. And LeBron James is a short white man wearing a LeBron James jersey.
Yes, holding, I was about to point that out.
Holding a sign that says photos with LeBron James. It is...
This is the thing?
Yeah, it's the best busker. Hustle I've
Look,
seen in a while.
Our buskers, what they lack in talent sometimes, they often make up for in ingenuity.
Yes. Okay.
I love it. I love
this segue because this is what I'm thinking. The last time I was down on Fremont Street, like I had just read something about that you can like apply to busk on Fremont Street. And so this isn't so much of a scam, but what if I started like a history busking business? Like instead of like proselytizing or photos of LeBron James, whatever, I'll just stand on a milk crate and just like spew facts about Las Vegas with a bucket in front of me. Do you think that could
So like a non-consensual tour.
Yeah.
Elder shrimp is right there.
And it won't even be tips. It'll just be things like, the train station used to be here. You're standing in Las Vegas. The Golden Gate is the oldest building. If you
this
go,
this hotel used to be called the Mint.
Yeah, the Mint used to be right here. And this is like just like that. I think I'm curious if I would make any money.
Well, if people try to take your photo while doing it, you could get really aggressive with them because that seems to be the MO.
I'll also hold a sign that says photos with Mariah Carey.
Well, there's only one way to find out if that works, Sarah. I mean, there's a circle on Fremont Street under the canopy waiting for you.
With your name on it.
All right. Well, I'll see you all there. Okay. One more last thing before we sign off today. If you've been following Mayoral Mondays, and I know you both have, you know that we're talking to almost every mayoral candidate on our podcast over the weekends and Mondays. So the Nevada Independent is hosting an Indie Talks event on Wednesday, May 15th. You can go hear the three frontrunners debate the issues in person at the swanky new Fountain Blue. Head over to thenevadaindependent.com/events and you can get your tickets there. And as a special bonus for our members, we've got some Indie Talks tickets to give away. So if you're not already a CityCast Las Vegas member, you can do that at membership.citycast.fm. You know what? We'll put all of those links in the show notes so you can just click through. So David and Andrew, thank you so much for being with me.
Yeah, that was another fun one.
Thank you.
Another fun one in the bag. And all for today here on CityCast Las Vegas. Our producers this week were Sonia Cho Swanson, Leila Mohammed, and AKL Moomin. Our newsletter editor is Rob Catchell-Reese, and our hosts are David Figler and me, Sarah Lohman. Music is by OG Moose, Epidemic Sound, and All the Kimonos. We record this show on the traditional homelands of the Nawuvi, the Southern Paiute people. If this is your first time tuning in, guess what? You can subscribe to our podcast and hear 499 more episodes by heading over to lasvegas.citycast.fm or wherever you usually get your podcasts. That's where you'll find us Monday through Friday and sometimes Saturdays and Sundays too. And speaking of, we'll be back this weekend with more news from around the city. Take care. Hang on, sorry. I got stuff.
Hang on, Sarah. Sarah,
okay, here we go.
Hang on. Yeah.